This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise above and be in control with today's business headlines, driven by Volvo Cars.
8:48 right now, you're listening to The Morning Run. Melissa, Joyce and Han here with you. You too can join this conversation at 018-789-8899. That's the number to WhatsApp in, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're getting a lot of messages remembering Stan Lee, who passed away at the age of 95. He is, I think, a real-life superhero, I would say. So lots of people saying that they will miss him and, you know, talking about the impact of their lives. Thank you guys for your messages. Keep them coming in. But let's turn our attention to some of the top business news of the day. We have Goldman Sachs. Their shares hit the lowest in almost 2 years yesterday, falling twice as much as any other major U.S. lender. So Goldman shares declined 7.5%, which is their biggest one-day decline since 2011. So this is just on the back of comments that Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng made on the Breakfast Grill yesterday.
That's right. He said that Malaysia would seek a full refund of all fees paid to Goldman over the 1MDB bond deals. And analysts have said that, you know, all the negative headlines are at the forefront of the investors' minds when it comes to Goldman.
Yeah, no, so obviously moving forward, the question is whether or not Goldman will play ball. But let me give you a little bit of an analysis on the Goldman share prices here. So recall that earlier this year, it hit a record high of about $273.38 overnight, or early this morning. It closed at $206.05. So that's a drop of about 25% since its record high earlier this
year.
There you go. Massive. Yeah.
In fact, here we have the Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng from the Breakfast Grill yesterday making that statement.
I mean, for starters, we would seek to a full refund of all the fees we have paid to Goldman Sachs. And number two, of course, losses, especially the interest differential. When we took the yield, I think it was at a much higher rate than the market rate, almost 100 basis points higher. So I think that differential, that interest rate differential, is also another claim that we are making. Finally, other consequential losses, which Goldman Sachs will hopefully make good. This is again in the hands of the Attorney General.
So that was the Finance Minister on the Breakfast Grill yesterday, where he stayed for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah,
for that
super extended grill.
So, you know, the announcements he made on that on the program, the show yesterday, was picked up by all the news outlets around the world. And that, I think, you know, had, as you mentioned, Joyce, you know, rattled investors, causing that dip in Goldman's share price.
Actually, Mel, Guan Eng also mentioned on the Breakfast Grill yesterday that Goldman has essentially admitted culpability after its former banker, Tim Leisner, pleaded guilty to his role in the 1MDB scandal.
No, I think number one, Goldman Sachs has admitted culpability. Tim Leisner pleaded guilty. The CEO, Solomon, has also said they are collaborating and cooperating fully with the authorities. That they are shocked by what has happened, and that's indirectly an admission that something very wrong happened. Number two, under the U.S. laws, if there is a kleptocratic activities where money was stolen from other countries, they will refund the money back to the country concerned. And as far as the fees are concerned, I think there's no dispute. It will be fully returned by Goldman Sachs to Malaysia because it was paid by Malaysia.
Yeah, so I guess in this case, guys, I mean, look, Leisner, in his guilty plea, had said that there were others in the bank that helped him conceal the bribes used to retain business in Malaysia, and that there was this culture of secrecy within Goldman that led him to conceal wrongdoing from the bank's compliance staff. So he's saying, well, it's not just me, it was the culture, right? So the question is how will Goldman respond to this?
Right, so the finance minister, you know, appears certain that this indirect admission of wrongdoing on the bank's part, Leisner, again, like you said, pleaded guilty as an individual, but then zooming out to the bank, what is their stance on this, right? right? That this appears to be an indirect admission of wrongdoing, at least in the eyes of the finance minister. And, you know, given the U.S. law against kleptocracy, will help Malaysia recover the fees. Now, how much in fees are we talking about? $600 million. That's how much Malaysia paid Goldman for those three bonds. You know, I think net overall, when it comes to the 1MDB saga, the finance minister says he'd be happy if he got around 30% net after all the expenses incurred from the entire 1MDB scandal.
You know, we are looking at payments of just 1MDB alone, 50 billion ringgit. But that doesn't include other 1MDB related scandals. Rather, it involves projects which were dubious in nature, or rather unnecessary and inflated projects that some of them have been cancelled and others have been deferred. So we are looking at around 30%. No, I would be happy if we can get around 30% net after all the expenses incurred and after we have managed to identify and locate some of these assets we were bought from stolen money.
That was the Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng on The Breakfast Grill yesterday. If you didn't get to listen to that full interview, you can always download the podcast or listen to it, stream it from our BFM app, which is available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. The response Goldman has had to this is that Goldman has been consistent in saying that they believe the proceeds of the debt that it underwrote were due to Tim Leisner's withholding of information from the firm, and they haven't released any statement publicly admitting to any wrongdoing that they've been accused of.
Right. So again, comparing the statements made by the finance minister with what was mentioned back in June of this year, $4.5 billion. That's how much the government seeks to recover from this, you know, this entire saga here. So $4.5 billion, you know, times, well, four about right now, that's about 20. Ish. Oh no, I mean less than 20 billion ringgit. Yeah.
So. All right. We'll have to see how much we can get from that. Who knows? Okay. Well, let's turn our attention to the airport REIT that was proposed in Budget 2019. So we have comments here made by the Malaysian REIT Managers Association, MRMA, the chairman of the association, Datuk Jeffrey Ng, saying that this proposed real estate investment trust, airport real estate investment trust, could be a very powerful way for the government to monetize state-owned assets. But I guess, like everything in Malaysia, you know, I guess the devil is in the details, right? The complexities loom within the execution.
And also the execution is key. Mm-hmm. But currently, the government owns the airports in Malaysia and has licensed MAHB to operate and manage airports until 2035. And in exchange for a share of its revenue, according to different sources, this revenue share is at a rate of about 12.5% or 11%. And under the REIT, the government would sell a 30% stake in the assets to private institutional investors. And this would raise about 4 billion ringgit for the government. In turn, the investors would gain returns from the user fees generated from MAHB.
So that revenue share is slightly different, right? I mean, we're seeing mixed reports for anywhere, as you mentioned, from 11 to 12.5%.
That's right. Different news reports. Yeah.
Right. But then ultimately, where is the money going to come from? And then also, is it enough to, you know, appease potential investors, right? So looking at a Bloomberg Intelligence report, you know, they're saying that to make this attractive or for this REIT to hit that 4 billion ringgit valuation, this REIT would have to pay out 700 million ringgit per year. Now, according to their projections, even by 2020, they are still looking at about 550 million ringgit. So there's a shortfall of about 150 million ringgit. So how would they get that 700 million ringgit payments, right, in order to make this attractive enough? So I think that's a question there. And one of them possibly will be, you know, either from the taxes that have been announced in Budget 2019, you know, that 20 bucks that you are set to pay if you're flying to ASEAN, or 40 bucks if you're flying beyond or further out from ASEAN. So that may be one of those legislations that could help boost the coffers and then ultimately make this REIT attractive.
Yeah, there are also questions on this REIT as to, you know, it's still quite unclear whether the REIT company will be paid directly from MAHB or indirectly by the government from MAHB's user fees.
Yes.
So some analysts,
where
have,
is that going to come from? Right,
some analysts have asked, you know, will the government share its percentage or force MAHB to pay above this to cover the REIT?
Well, the idea itself is good, right? So the idea is to have, you know, the country's aviation infrastructure be monetized, but where I think, again, like I said, you know, we need to know a bit more clarity as to where this is going to come from.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and also, right, you know, what kind of exposure would these investors in the REIT have that they perhaps didn't have via, say, MAHB shares? I think that's one of the questions posed after that announcement was made via
Good
Budget
point.
2019
yeah,
then, right? I mean, so obviously you got supporters and some skeptics there. Let's start with the supporters. So I think you mentioned this earlier, Mel, the MRMA, saying with the right pricing and valuation, well, this could attract strong interest, not just from the big boys, the institutional investors, but also from retail investors as well. Then on the flip side, I think AirAsia is saying,
they say they don't want.
We're good.
They're going to keep just being in the airline business.
Well, they say it's not their job to build airports. Their job is to move people from point A to point B. So there you go. not interested in taking this up.
Well, looking at MAHB's October passenger movement, that's up some 0.5% on year.
For
that's quite
October,
a lot. So
right.
For October, so about 10.7 million passengers were recorded for that month.
So moving forward, money, like pay up.
All right, we've got the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia coming up next in the 9 o'clock news bulletin with Sabrina Magdalene, BFM 89.9.
Keeping you on track for peak business performance with the new Volvo XC40, the expression of innovation. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.